Welcome to The Vampire Squid, a podcast about increasing transparency and education in finance. This is your host, Alan Lee, and welcome to episode 10 of The Vampire Squid. I can't believe we've already come this far, and I just want to give a shout out to all of you for listening and helping me get here with all your suggestions, all your comments, all your feedback. I really couldn't have done it without everyone's help. So thank you guys again, and I hope that these episodes continue into the far future. Today we're going to be talking about part two of investment banking recruiting, and that's on behavioral questions. Behavioral questions are investment bankers' way of gauging your soft skills to see who you are as a person, what your motivations are, what your thought process is. These are arguably, I think, more important than technical questions, because technicals you can teach someone, but behaviorals are a little bit more hard to teach, and they're more inherent to a specific individual. As always, if you have any questions or comments, suggestions, please feel free to visit my website, thevampiresquid.com, and go to the contact tab. Also, please visit facebook.com/thevampiresquid for live updates on episode releases and my blog. I'm also on Quora too. I don't know if you guys use Quora, but if you guys do use Quora, I will have a link to my Quora account where I give answers. I do touch on finance, investment banking, but I also touch on other random subjects. So give me a follow there if you're on Quora. If you're not on Quora, I highly suggest you get on it. It's a great resource. I look at it almost every day. It's basically, think of it as a hyped up Yahoo Answers on steroids, but more quality content and questions. Great. So the way I'll structure today's episode is by doing Q&A and W. What I mean by that is I'll do the question, and then I'll provide my answer, and then why. So why are they asking this question? What is their motivation for asking this question? What are they trying to learn about you? And just as a caveat, please don't give the same answers that I'm giving now, because you'll probably be giving the same answers as tens of thousands of other listeners. So if you're going through recruiting, please just use this as a resource and as a guideline. Don't copy word for word, because that is probably a sure way to not get the offer if everyone sounds exactly like Alan Lee did back in 2013 when he was recruiting. Also, I wanted to touch on one thing before we start our episode. I got some feedback from last time's episode that networking was something I didn't cover as much in my episode, and I totally agree. Networking is important, and if you do it, you know, make it short and sweet when you reach out to people. Reach out to people that you have secondhand connections with. These could be alumni, teammates, friends of friends, etc. Networking is important to learn about the company, to learn about the industry, and it is a way to sort of get your foot in the door and get your resume looked at. However, I also want to caveat that by saying, if you're networking 20 plus hours a week, that is probably not the best use of your time. You could easily be using that time to be doing something a lot better in terms of self-development, learning something, or even building something. And the reason I say that is because it's very difficult to help someone that networks with you. Hey, Alan, I have a low GPA. I don't have any work experience. You know, how do I get an internship at a bulge bracket bank? It's very difficult to answer questions like that. But if you have someone else on the other hand that says, hey, Alan, I'm really passionate about finance, and I'm really interested in breaking into the industry. To show my passion, I've actually invested my own stock portfolio over the last 3 years and made a 60% year-over-year return. I do have a low GPA, but I think it shows through my stock investing and the organizations that I join on campus that I'm really passionate about joining finance. You know, how can I better position myself to get into investment banking or into private equity, venture capital, etc.? That is so much easier to help, and you can actually work together, and you're more likely going to receive a response if you phrase your requests like that rather than just, you know, giving a set of problems to someone else. That is my advice for networking. It is important to do it, and it is important to get in front of people so that they see your resume and get to know who you are. But if you're doing it excessively, you could easily be using that time to better yourself in some other medium. Okay, great. So for behavioral questions, what I want to start off by saying is instead of focusing on tailoring every specific answer to each question, I like to think of it as having a theme to what you'll be remembered by, because your interviewers aren't going to remember every single answer to every single question that they've asked you, but they're going to come away with sort of a feeling or a theme about your person. So for example, oh, Alan, he's that golfer that is pretty involved in campus. He did an internship at Google, I remember, and I thought he was pretty honest, ethical, you know, throw in your adjective there. So, I mean, I get many emails from people asking, you know, how to craft the best answer to why investment banking or why Goldman Sachs. And this one question isn't going to make or break you. The overall theme and the overall message of your answers will. So think about what is special and unique to yourself and what you want to get across in your interview, what you want to convey, what you want that message to be, because the interviewers are going to leave with maybe 2 to 3 sentences at most of who you are and what you did and how they felt you were as a how they felt you were as a candidate. Also, whatever on your resume is all fair game, and be prepared to elaborate extensively on any of the subjects. And a lot of interviewers like to you know, go through in detail each line item on your resume. So even every bullet point, make sure that you can talk about it intelligently and that you've actually had experience doing it. I remember I put one interest or hobby on my resume that, you know, I was semi-active in and kind of stopped doing, but it was still on my resume. And one of my interviewers was, you know, very passionate about the subject and tried to go very deep into that subject, where I wasn't able to go as deep as he was, and it didn't come off as well. And I kind of wish I had taken that off. So make sure you go over your resume, clean it up, take out things that you aren't doing anymore, and put on things that you only can speak to very intelligently and in depth. Okay, so now let's go through some of the questions that people like to ask through the interviews. One of the first ones is, you know, walk me through your resume, give me your background. For this question, keep it under 1 minute. A lot of students and a lot of interviewers ramble on for 3, 4, 5 plus minutes. And unless you have a very extravagant and very, very interesting or unique background story, keep it to under 1 minute. And you should actually time yourself. Keep it to under 1 minute, because you should hit the highlights of everything that's on your resume and your background. And if the interviewer is interested, he or she will stop you and ask you to elaborate on that subject if they're interested in doing it. But please don't go over a minute, because once you do, the interviewer starts to get bored. They might get impatient, and people like it when you keep it short and concise and sweet. They'll most likely look at things like, you know, why did you choose your school, your major, your internship, your school involvement. So basically anything on your resume, depending on the interviewer, they'll ask you to elaborate on any one of the subjects. And I've seen that interviewers really like to focus on your interests, because most of the people have fairly similar work experience in terms of working at a bank or a Fortune 500 company, etc. But their interests are usually what is unique, and that is something that they'll remember you by, something that sets you a little bit apart from everyone else. Next question is, why do you want to work at X investment bank? For me, I said, I want to work with the best and brightest people. And I think that at your firm, you guys have done specific deals like X, which has had a real impact on the economy and the industry. And I want to be able to have a hand in working on deals like that. And after speaking to X individual at your bank, they really confirmed my choice of your bank that I want to work at. So, I mean, the reason people ask you this question is because they want to know that you're interested in their firm, and they want to see, you know, what your motivations are. If the only reason is because the firm is prestigious, then that's sort of a red check mark. They'll dock you points for that. They want to know that you've taken the time to do a little bit of research on the firm, understand some of the highlights and the deals that they've worked on, to show that you are passionate about working at this specific firm and you're not just, you know, recruiting everywhere and hopefully just getting a job somewhere, which in the many cases is the case for many people. But make sure you do some research on the firm, know what deals they've worked on, speak to some individuals at the bank, get a sense of their culture, and if you do that research, it will come across in the interview. Next question is, why do you want to work in investment banking? So I said, I want to really develop a financial skill set and something that is tangible because, you know, last summer I worked at Google and, you know, it was a great experience, but I didn't think I really developed a tangible skill set that I took away. And then, you know, I also really want to interact with some of the smartest people in the industry, be that the firm's partners or CEOs of companies on deals that we work on. So for this question, they want to understand what your true motivations are. If it's about prestige or cash, you're probably not going to survive because after you work 140-hour week, cash and prestige aren't all that important. They really want to see that you are a continuous learner, that you want to, that you're really interested in the industry and in the sector. For my advice for this question is, you know, really take some time, take 15, 20 minutes and think about why you want to go into investment banking. If it is because of cash and prestige and whatnot, then maybe this may not be the right industry to go into. If it's to develop a skill set, if it's to learn as much as possible, to be surrounded by, you know, some of the smartest people in the industry, that is slightly better answers than for cash and for prestige. Another question people like to ask is, are you interviewing with only investment banks? Or are you interviewing with consulting firms too, or other tech companies, or Fortune 500 companies? For this answer, you usually just want to say only investment banks. And this is because they want to see that you have a focus on finance and on investment banking. And many times, I would say 90%+ of you guys are interviewing with consulting firms and other Fortune 500 companies too. But just say you're interviewing with only investment banks because they do want to see the focus and they do want to see you're passionate about investment banking and not just doing it because everyone else is. Another question is, tell me about a time you had a conflict on a team and how did you resolve it? So for my answer for this was, you know, on one of my projects for my consulting that I was working on, you know, someone wasn't performing up to par. And, you know, I had to really sit them down and ask them on a one-on-one basis, you know, what's the reason for, you know, the recent underperformance? You know, is something going on? Can I be helpful? And, you know, it turns out it was something personal for the individual. And in the meantime, I asked, you know, some other individuals in the team to help cover, and I helped cover myself. And afterwards, once the problem was resolved, you know, things were back to normal. So I think in this case, it's... for me, it was open communication. I think communication is one of the most important things, as I've mentioned on previous episodes, but especially when you're working in investment banking, you're going to be working on a team on every single project that you're working on. There's no individual projects in investment banking. So they want to see about a time that, you know, you have a conflict, because you're bound to have a conflict when you're working 100+ hours a week, and they want to see how you can resolve conflicts. This is probably a very important question, and teamwork is essential to investment banking. And to be honest, it's essential to probably most industries out there. Another question is, tell me about a time you went against the grain or challenged the status quo. For my answer for this was, you know, as president of my business fraternity, we had recruited people in a specific way for the last decade or past couple decades, for however long the fraternity had been in place. And I thought that the way that we were doing it didn't make that much sense because some people were given unfair advantages and the system wasn't standardized across the board because, you know, some interviewers were much more harsh. We didn't have a fixed question list or a scoring rubric. So I ended up helping create that interview rubric and creating a scoring system for both the technical and the behavioral questions for entrance into the business fraternity. And, that was something that is that was pretty unique at the time, but is being used ever since I've left the fraternity, and I think that it's continuously still being used. So this question is important because in investment banking, they like to see diversification of opinion. You don't want someone that all thinks like-mindedly, because for a lot of the advice and a lot of the advisory services that you provide for companies, people want you to challenge their opinion. You want to provide the best advice that you can. And if everyone thinks the same way, then there's this groupthink that is usually not the best path to doing something. You know, through debate and through conflict resolution, do you get better? So they want to see that you've done this in the past and that you can go against the grain and that you're willing to do something out of the ordinary and challenge the status quo for something that you believe is correct. Tell me about your greatest accomplishment. That's another question. So for mine, I talked about my winning state championship in golf during my high school years. The reason they asked this question is because they want to see that you can excel in other areas. And in the previous episode, I touched upon this briefly, but transferable skills is something that investment banks really believe in, especially the bulge bracket banks. If you can excel in a certain area, then you can excel in investment banking, because if you can do very well in, you know, say a sport or a instrument or a club or a company, you know, you can do well in investment banking. Another question is, tell me your strengths and weaknesses. So, I mean, everyone hates this question because it's not very easy to answer the latter portion. But for me, I said for my strength, I said I had a great attitude. I also said I was tenacious. And that was a word that was used to describe me in sort of my past internship. So I kept with that theme. For my weaknesses, I said I have really poor attention to detail and I don't like to follow instructions. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. And do not say that, because that's an immediate red flag, because that is very core to investment banking. What I actually said was, I used to be nervous about public speaking, but then I recognized that I needed to improve on public speaking if I was ever going to, you know, move up in life and be able to communicate to others my thoughts and my feelings. So I overcame this by participating in speech and debate in high school, raising my hand more in class, and in college, I also actively participated in case competitions, where a business has a problem and you and a group of, 3 to 4 students work to come up with a solution for this problem. And in my last case competition, it was a case competition for Macy's. We actually presented to senior level executives in Macy's. So for this question, strengths are obviously they want to see what you're good at, but weaknesses, it's hard to win this question. The best way to answer weaknesses question is come up with an answer that was a weakness before and how you overcame it and went on to make it sort of a strength. People usually like to see this, and people won't really drill down too much on this. They just want to see what you think your weaknesses are and how you went about overcoming it. Another question is, tell me about a time that you failed. So this is a tough question too, because the premise of the question isn't positive. For this, I said, there was this organization on campus that I really wanted to join, and it was called Berkeley Consulting. So for the first two times that I applied, I was just outright rejected, not even given an interview, and just an email saying, thanks again, hope to see you maybe next semester. The third time, I actually got the interview because, I don't know, they probably were like, this kid, we need to do something about this kid, or we're going to keep seeing his resume every single semester. But fortunately, I did 2 case study interviews with them. And, you know, honestly, I was more nervous during that interview than I was during, you know, my case study interview with Bain. But in that case, I continued trying and trying. And, for that third time, I ultimately got into the organization, thankfully. For this one, it's the people are looking for a time that you failed and also turned that into hopefully a success. So for this one, it's not being rejected once, but also twice. And then, you know, having the courage to apply a third time and then becoming successful. This is a story that people like to hear. So look into your life of when you've failed once or twice, but then kept on trying and kept on persevering and then ultimately succeeded. I know that one person talked about trying to get his girlfriend to go out on a date with him multiple times and asking, you know, with flowers one time, asking in other creative ways before finally succeeding, I think, maybe like 4th or 5th time. So, I mean, not everything has to be tied back to a certain organization or a professional setting. It could be even something as successful as, you know, getting a girl to go out with you or getting that guy to go out with you. So that's actually a good point. I just want to touch upon, not everything in the interview has to be so serious. You can have creative answers, and sometimes that is what makes you stand out. That guy that talked about his girlfriend and getting his girlfriend after asking her out multiple times, you know, ultimately got the offer. And, you know, people hear 50 students every day, and if everyone is giving the exact same answer or a very similar answer, it's very boring and repetitive, and no one's going to remember you. So try to give unique answers. Really think deeply about some of these questions that people are asking, so that people actually remember who you are. And as long as it's not something incredibly inappropriate, then it's fair game. Another question is, what do you do for fun? I say I play golf. I'm a big foodie. I like trying new restaurants. And, you know, I like going to music concerts like Coachella, Outside Land. So for this one, they're just looking for, you know, what do you do outside of all these activities and grades and school on your resume? They want to see that you're also a unique individual. You're not just an investment banking robot. They want to see if they can hang out with you in the airport on a delay for an hour. And not want to, you know, take the next flight back. And also, I want to finish off with just a theme of ethical questions. And I've noticed that investment banks have started asking ethical questions more. So for these, just answer them honestly. And obviously, they're looking to see, you know, what you do in these ethical challenge situations. Or they'll ask you a question like, when's a time you faced an ethical dilemma and how did you solve it? These questions are becoming a little bit more prevalent in the industry as interviews have gone on. So that's all I have for the behavioral section of investment banking interviews. And, you know, for these questions that I asked previously, you could probably jot down some notes and jot down a theme that you want to convey. Have some good stories that you can get across in the interview that you want to show. Stories about success, stories about failure that became success, etc. Obviously, don't sound like a robot. Don't memorize what you're going to say, but, you know, practice a little bit, record yourself, see if you're saying what you actually think you're saying. Good luck to you guys. As always, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to visit me on my website, thevampiresquid.com, and get on the contact tab. Also, please visit my Facebook page, facebook.com/thevampiresquid. Also, look for me on Quora too, because, I'm a big fan of Quora, and it's an awesome site. So check me out on there and give me a follow if you like it. Thanks again. And until next time, for part 3, we'll be going over the technical questions. Until then, thanks. Have a great weekend and ciao.